And now if you would once again have your copy of the Scriptures open to Colossians chapter 3. In honor of the Lord and His Word, would you please stand with me as we seek His aid to hear and heed His Word. Our God and our Father, we are thankful that you have made yourself known to us in such a way that we can know you and walk with you and serve you with delight. Father, it is our high calling and our high privilege to gather together here, to come together and fellowship with each other as we commune with you. We thank you for your church that is being built according to promise. Father, I pray that you would find us today to be your church as you have intended. Open our hearts and our minds that we would approach your word with humility and yet with expectancy, knowing that you have revealed yourself to us not for our information, but for our transformation. And so mold us today, I pray, Father, more and more into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What is your view of God? A.W. Tozer said that probably the most important thing that can be said about any person at any given time is what they think of God. How true that is. What is God like? Do you see him as a God who is distant and far away? His holiness teaches us that he is holy other. There are ways that we cannot be like him. But is that all that he is to us? Is he just a distant concept and a distant force? Aren't we thankful that indeed God is a personal God? He is a God that doesn't just stay off in the distance. He is a personal God. He has informed us. He has given us directive. He has given us truth. And he has said, this is what I have done. This is who I am. This is what I have done. And aren't you glad that he did that in the form of a person? That God didn't just stand aloof and say, do this, do that. He didn't do that. He gave us a man to follow. And that man is the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, what God did is that he got personally involved. And that is the point of the message today in communicating the vision of Grace Bible Church, that we be a people corporately and each one of us individually to get personally involved. Why? Because God got personally involved in your life and mine. Even today, Jesus Christ, having walked on the earth almost 2,000 years ago, and he ascended back to the Father, is that where it ends? Is that the end of God's involvement? Absolutely not. He has given us his Spirit to take up residence within us. In that way, still today, God is personally involved in your life and mine. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1 that we have become partakers of the divine nature. Therefore, every precept, every principle of the Word of God is anchored in the very person of God. God got personally involved. We too, as his people, ought to get personally involved. Now, there was an ought there. Let me tell you how that ought comes about. This is the logo of Grace Bible Church. Every part of it is significant. At the center of this logo is the cross. That cross represents the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is what defines us. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the message that God got personally involved in our lives. That's good news, because without that, we would be utterly hopeless. So you see this around. You see it on the bulletin. You see it on the walls of the church. You see it on the letterhead. So after today, when you see this, hopefully you will be able to look at it with new and fresh understanding, with specific understanding as to what it is about, what we are about as a church. There are two bars on that cross. One is vertical, the other is horizontal. And there is significance there, because they represent a picture that I want you to have in your mind today. And that is the picture of a well. And as the water comes up from that well, then it flows out of the fountainhead. There is no outflow unless there is a well. And so as we look at the text of Colossians chapter 3, look what the Apostle Paul begins with. If then you were raised with Christ, what is that? That is indicative truth. Here comes the imperative. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So here comes the outline then. We'll come back to this logo and consider the significance of it. But here is the fountainhead, okay? You don't have an outflow unless there is a well. Remember this, that the God of the universe, the Creator Redeemer Himself, has referred to Himself way back in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Two times He referred to Himself as the fountain of living water. What is that? That is an inexhaustible source of resource and refreshment, of life and satisfaction. That's who God is. Do you see God that? Do you think of God that way today? That He is your inexhaustible resource of life and satisfaction. That's who He is. Which is why the Apostle Paul begins chapter 3 the way he does. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. What is this? The fountainhead, the well, is loving God. That is your highest function as a created person in the image of God. Your highest function is to love God. You were designed for that. You were created for that. To love God means to delight in Him. It means to worship Him. Break that down a bit. It means what motivates you at your deepest desire. That it is your highest function means that it is the best, the most noble, the most effective and satisfying function that you can engage in. To love God is a passionate pursuit of a person. And this is why we need to understand God as a person who got personally involved. Because He's not just a distant being. He's not a distant force or concept. He is a personal God who desires you personally. And to love God means to pursue Him personally. That's what it means. So I invite you then to get personally involved in our teaching as a church, that we think much of God and we make much of God. In our music, in our worship, that we think much of God, that the words are biblically rich and solid. They are God's words affirmed. And we make much of God in our music. Are we passionate about God? If a visitor comes into this congregation and they listen to us sing, will they leave here with the impression that we are passionate about our God? Folks, that is my vision for this church. It's a part of it. that we are in pursuit of God. We think much of Him and make much of Him, not only in our teaching, in our music, in our worship, but in our serving. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to do a mini-series, a two-week series, on the very concept of worship itself in the Scriptures. And there's two sides to the coin. And one side is sensing God. Worship is sensing God. Not just in here, but when we leave here. The other side of the coin is serving God. Not just in here, but when we leave here. And therefore, hopefully, that when we come together and our corporate worship here is a culmination of your worship of God as you have been engaging Him throughout the course of the week. Let that be our reputation, that we are a people that loves God, that we are in passionate pursuit of God. Why? Because that's our design. That's what life is about. And if we get that, then we can live in the outflow. Listen, there is a reason why verses 1 to 4 are at the beginning of chapter 3, other than a numerical reason. Okay? It is the substance of that text. We begin with loving God. And so if you go back to the logo, that vertical bar of the cross, let that represent your fellowship with God. Let that represent your connection to God, your relationship with God, your pursuit of God. Let that represent loving God. Let that vertical bar represent Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Because if that's true, then what happens? Then we can live in the outflow. If there is a well, then if that well is that fountain of living water, then we can live in the outflow of that. And if you get verses 1 to 4, then the rest will follow. If you don't get verses 1 to 4, then you can forget the rest of the chapter because it won't be there. That's how the kingdom of God works. That is the economy of God's kingdom. Loving people, discipling people, the community of grace, that is the outflow of our love for God and our pursuit of Him. You see, it is a work that God is doing within us, each of us individually, as He says in verse 10. You have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. And so therefore, it is the outflow. So the vision of Grace Bible Church, this, that we are an intentional community of grace that loves God, manifested by loving people in a culture of discipleship. All of those words significant. And at the beginning of it all, is loving God. If we don't get that right, the rest of it doesn't come together. But if we do get that right, then the rest of it is simply the outflow. And so that's how I want you to look at that logo of Grace Bible Church. Okay? The community of grace. We're going to see it here in just a minute. The community of grace. This is the outflow of our pursuit of God, of our love for God. Why a community of grace? Those words are significant. Community, because we were designed for connectedness. We were designed for connectedness beginning with God, and then the outward flowing to God's people. 1 John tells us that he who loves God loves him who is begotten of God. Meaning this, if you love God, it naturally follows that you love His people. By this we know that we love God as we love the children of God. Those are pretty clear verses, aren't they? But it is a community of grace. It is a community of grace because we were designed for connectedness. And grace means that it is way beyond just know and tell. That when you come into the fellowship of the believers, we're not just here to know and to tell. I'm not up here just to tell you how much I know, and you're not here just to watch a performance. Grace takes us way beyond knowing and telling. Well, why is that? Well, let's go back to God again. God didn't just verbalize His plan or His expectations. He gave us a man to follow. And so it is within the context of the body of Christ. that we follow, we walk with each other as we are walking with God. We'll hear more of that in just a couple of minutes. But grace, a community of grace, also means that there's a level field in here. Some of us have known God and walked with God longer than others. So there's a difference in maturity, but that doesn't take the level field away. All of us are on level ground. Every one of us, before God. All of us. Every one of us is on level ground. There's no spiritual hierarchy here. It has nothing to do with socioeconomic status. It has nothing to do with race. Nothing whatsoever. There is not a certain people within the body of Christ. There is not a certain people that is more special to and blessed by God than other people. It doesn't exist in the body of Christ. It is a community of grace. The verses that we read at the beginning of the church service, they had all things in common. Why? Because they recognized it was a level field. You know what's amazing about that? When I first thought of this, it just blew my mind. I have 6 kids. I've been called crazy for that. But I look good for having 6 kids, don't I? Say, mm-hmm. Listen, my kids know the Lord. As far as I know, every one of them knows God and is walking with Him. Several years ago, I recognized that my son, I'm just amazed by it. In the family of God, my son is my brother. That blew my mind. That's a community of grace. That's the economy of God's kingdom. And so, as we are a community of grace, what are the hallmarks of that community? They are the hallmarks of giving and gratitude. Giving and gratitude. Because in this community of grace, as we share what we have in common, the grace of the salvation of grace by Jesus Christ, and we share what we have in common with each other. I come to you with an attitude of giving. I come before God with an attitude of giving Him my praise and my adoration. And the disposition of gratitude. We serve one another in the body of Christ. Listen, your presence here is serving your brothers and sisters. It is a ministry to them. The very fact of your presence here, and I want you to remember that, loved ones, please. Your presence here means that you, by virtue of being here, are serving your brothers and sisters. And that service is a priority in God's eyes, for He has called us together. And so let's make it a priority of ours. Because in this community of grace, now let's go back to the logo here, okay? And let's get the big picture. As this picture grows and develops, that vertical bar, that is the well, that is loving God. As we pursue God, as we love God, then we can live in the outflow. What is the outflow? It is a community of grace. Everything that I just described there. So, see that. As you look at this logo, we'll continue building on that as we go along. A community of grace manifested by loving people. Manifested by loving people. Look with me at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God. See, that talks about who we are. It doesn't talk about what we're doing here as the elect of God. It talks about who we are. Okay? And then it talks about what we do. Holy and beloved, elect of God, holy and beloved. That's who we are. Now, if that's true, here's the outflow of that. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Listen, you can't do that by yourself. You do that in the context of other people. You do that in the context of God's people. Loving people. And that is why the definition of that is your sacrifice for their Godward movement. Because that's how God loved me. God loved me in the person of His Son Jesus Christ by sacrificing Himself for my Godward movement so that I can be reconciled to God. That is the very definition of love. We have to remember that as the biblical definition of love, because this word love has been really skewed significantly by the world system and the culture in which we live. There's a good example of this on the back of the bulletin. You can look there with me now. I want to read it together with you. This is from a book by Timothy Keller. It's called The Reason for God. Tim Keller pastors a church up in Manhattan. And he has written this book, The Reason for God. If you have friends, relative, associate, or neighbor, that is asking spiritual questions. You know they don't know God yet. They're not in the family of God, but they're asking questions. They're seeking. They're looking. Then I highly recommend you give them Keller's book, The Reason for God. It is a good read. Now here's where he gives us an example of what love means. And this definition of love, your sacrifice for their Godward movement. This is why the challenge today is to get personally involved. Don't stand aloof. Don't stand separated from your brothers and sisters or from those who need the Lord yet. Get personally involved. Because God got personally involved in your life. He sacrificed for your Godward movement. Therefore, as a child of God, you sacrifice for someone else's Godward movement. Consider parenting, the second paragraph down here in the back of the grace vine. Consider parenting. Children come into the world in a condition of complete dependence. They cannot operate as self-sufficient, independent agents unless their parents give up much of their own independence and freedom for years. If you don't allow your children to hinder your freedom in work and play at all, and if you only get to your children when it doesn't inconvenience you, your children will grow up physically only. In all sorts of other ways, they will remain emotionally needy, troubled, and overdependent. The choice is clear. You can either sacrifice your freedom or theirs. It's them or you. To love your child well, you must decrease, they must increase. What a concept that is. If I am loving my brother, then I need to have the same attitude that John the Baptist had. He must increase and I must decrease. If I am going to love you and the mind of Christ outflows from me, then I am considering you more important than myself. Consider this. Would a parent take care of their child only when it's convenient for them as a parent? No good parent would do that. But see, that takes us to the very definition of love. To the one who needs your love, you sacrifice yourself, not just when you feel good about it or when it's convenient to you. You sacrifice yourself for their Godward movement, for their betterment. To love your child well, you must decrease that they may increase. You must be willing to enter into the dependency they have so eventually they can experience the freedom and independence you have. There's a good line here in this next paragraph from Tim Keller. All life-changing love is a substitutional sacrifice. Now, how do we know that? Because that's what God did. All life-changing love is a substitutional sacrifice. Consider the last paragraph of this article. Look at it with me. How can God be a God of love if He does not become personally involved in suffering the same violence, oppression, grief, weakness, and pain that we experience? The answer to that question is twofold. First, God can't. God cannot be a God of love if He does not get personally involved in our suffering. The second, only one major religion even claims that God does. And what is that? That is the religion of the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's what we proclaim. That is why the cross is at the center of our logo. That's what defines us. This is who God is. He got personally involved in my life. And therefore, as I pursue Him, as I love Him, I live in the outflow. And the outflow of my love for God is my love for you. That I sacrifice myself for your Godward movement to get personally involved. So we see that then in the logo. As you look at it now, see this. There's the well in the middle. Your pursuit of God, your love for God. And the outflow of that is the community of grace manifested in loving people. That I am willing to sacrifice myself for your Godward movement. I get personally involved in your life. And we do that as a community. It becomes the culture of our church. To encourage each other, to walk with each other in a Godward direction. And here's the last one then. Loving people in a culture of discipleship. A culture of discipleship. Look with me at verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What is that? That is personal involvement in each other's lives for encouragement, for iron sharpening iron. The definition of discipleship is this. Coming alongside another so that together you walk Godward. Put your arm around somebody. Take their hand and say, walk with me. Let's walk in a Godward direction. How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? There are myriad ways of doing this. But it is the culture of God's people to do it. That we get personally involved with each other. Loving people in a culture of discipleship. Why? Because God got personally involved with me. That's why. I'm living in the outflow. I'm living in the outflow of my love for God and my pursuit of Him. So we go back to the logo then, and here it is, that vertical bar, that's loving God, it's pursuing God, it's delighting in God, and then I live in the outflow of that, in the community of grace, manifested by loving people in a culture of discipleship. That is the outflow. Paramount, primary, first, more important than anything, is my pursuit of God and my love for Him, and then the rest is the outflow. Live in the outflow. That is the economy of God's kingdom. That is His church that He has established. And we do that together as a people, as the people of God. There are several implications in this outflow. We're going to look at these. What is implied in this outflow? First of all, it's that we reject and we replace the conventions of our cultural context. We replace the conventions of our cultural context. What do I mean by that? I mean exactly what Romans 12 says, that we are not being conformed to the world, but we're being conformed to the image of Christ. We are salt and light, and we are salt and light by contrast. Our effectiveness as salt and light is by contrast. And therefore, instead of living in and living out the conventions of the world, of the culture that we live in, and what are they? They're described in verses 5 through 9. Put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your own mouth. What is that? The flesh is inherently selfish. And the convention of the world is listening to their favorite radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? Listen, that attitude does not belong in the body of Christ. I don't come here for what's in it for me. Because I love God And the outflow of that is my love for you. And I pray that you come to church with that same attitude. That is the hallmark of the church. It is the hallmarks of giving and gratitude. You see, that's why there is so much division in the church today. Church is starting everywhere. Why? Because people are coming to church with the attitude, what's in it for me? Are they doing it my way? Are they doing it the way I like it? If they're not doing it the way I like it, I'm going to go somewhere else. Folks, I believe that kind of stuff makes God cry. And it makes the adversary dance. Too much of that going on. We must forsake the conventions of the world. Replace the conventions of the cultural context. It's not about me. It's about coming here to adore God and to invest myself in you. The second implication is this. A basic part of following Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. A basic part of following Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. Where you get personally involved, where you and your family might be walking in a park and you see someone who is in need, who's sleeping on the bench and they're hungry, and you bring them to church for pizza. It's happened. You've heard that story. That's getting personally involved. It's so easy just to walk beside and say, I don't want to get involved. Don't do that. Get personally involved. Because a basic part of following Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. And it's a paradigm change. It's an attitude change. It's from, I go to church for what I can get out of it, to, I am a vital contributing part of the church, the body of Christ. As you walk in these doors, come in with the attitude, I am a vital contributing part of the body of Christ. I'm here to give and to give thanks. I'm here to invest myself in you. And that then becomes the vision of the church. And we do it by connecting. We do it by growing. We do it by serving. You see, that vertical bar is your pursuit of God. The horizontal bar is the outflow. Live in the outflow. You cannot have outflow unless the well is there. And what is that well? It is the fountain of living waters. It is your pursuit of God. It is your delight in Him. It's your loving God. So live in the outflow. When we live in the outflow as God's people, we will be loving people in a culture of discipleship. Because we will be people that are personally involved in each other's lives, for encouragement as iron sharpening iron. Get personally involved because God got personally involved in your life and mine. And so my desire, my vision for Grace Bible Church in 2013, more than any other year, here's what I want to see. And I believe God wants to see this too. If this becomes true of us, we are in pursuit of God and delighting in Him, and we live in the outflow as a community of grace, loving people in a culture of discipleship, then my vision is this, that we will see people come to Christ more than ever before as a direct result of the ministry of Grace Bible Church. I long to see that. I long to see that. That is the vision of the church. It takes our personal involvement. Will you get personally involved because God got personally involved in your life? Personally involved with people. So when you look at this logo, when you see this, think about this. That vertical bar is your pursuit of God. The horizontal bar is the outflow. You cannot have the outflow without the well. So live in the outflow. Love God, pursue Him, and let's watch what God is going to do among us as we get personally involved in the ministry that God has entrusted to us. Let's stand together, please.